Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 127. Grant Paulson, Toby Altizer, producer Darris Dameron. Please subscribe, rate, review, like the pod, drop us a comment, do all that stuff that helps us out. And if you get a chance, text this episode to a buddy. Let them know that we do this after every single series throughout the Nat season. Speaking of the series, Toby, the Nationals have struggled in rubber matches this year, and you can add another one to the pile. Chance to win this three-game series with Arizona today as we tape on Thursday after a 105 day game at Nats Park in the heat. The Nationals dropped the game, dropped the series 2 out of 3, and instead of being 500 hitting the road, they'll be 2 under. They've got to settle for 9-3 in their last 12 as they've been playing much better baseball. But in this series against Arizona, Tobes, the bats just couldn't get it going. They're lucky, to have won a game thanks to a quality pitching performance from Patrick Corbin and a timely home run from Jesse Winker in game 2, because they just didn't hit.
Yeah, it's really weird because this series reminded me a little bit of what we talked about during the Mets series. And they've been going through a hot streak, so you know you can't bash them too much for the bats going a little bit cold. But if you go back to the series opener on Tuesday, Slade Ciccone goes 6 innings on 70 pitches. Then you go to the game on Wednesday, game 2 of the series. Brandon Pfaadt goes 6 1/3, and he gave up some runs there at the end. Obviously, the Nationals are able to win that one by putting 3 runs across, but 6 1/3 on 77 pitches. And then as we record on Thursday night, today's game, you saw Ryan Nelson go 7 innings on 70 pitches. He probably could have finished the whole thing out if he wanted to. And you know, that's just to say the Nationals are an aggressive ball club. You saw on Wednesday, they didn't strike out until the 8th inning, so they're very aggressive. They don't strike out a lot. They are unique offensively because they're going to get on, they're going to run. It's just a very unique style. But the other issue is if you're not getting base hits and you're playing super aggressive, that's 1 or 2 or 3 pitch ABs that are resulting in outs, and guys can just cruise. And that's really what happened for the most part in this series. Luckily, they're able to get the 1 win off Brandon Pfaadt, but when they're going good and you're playing aggressive and you're able to do those things and pile on and be aggressive on the base paths, it looks really good, Grant, and it's a lot of fun. But boy, when it is not going good and you're seeing the tweets almost nightly from the beat reporters that are there and they're talking about, hey, so-and-so is through 5 innings on 45 pitches, man, it's tough to justify that aggressive of an approach.
Yeah, they're just too easy to pitch to on days like today and in series like this one against Arizona. And to be honest, I can abide, I can deal with getting shoved on when you're facing ace starting pitching. You know, if you're going up against a true number one or an all-star type arm or a Cy Young caliber guy, like it's hard to hit and it's harder to hit against elite stuff. So I can live with that. But Slade Ciccone, whoever that guy, he sounds like a bad guy in a Batman movie. His ERA was 6+. You know, it's 5.9 as we're talking now after he dominated the Nationals. Brandon Pfaadt had an upper 4s ERA, almost 5. He went on Wednesday. He's got good stuff, punches a lot of guys out, has a long track record of doing that in the minor leagues. But again, you're talking about, you know, a guy who has been beatable this year. Ryan Nelson, who completely carved them up like he was, you know, working on a pumpkin on October 28th. ERA over 5 for the year. His average against is 300 on the season. They couldn't do anything against him. Today, as we tape, they had the 2 solo homers, one from Lane Thomas, who's actually gone deep 4 times now in 6 games, and one from Jesse Winker. And we'll talk about Winker, who's turning himself into a decent little trade chip. It's probably been their best offensive player as far as the resume now this season into the mid-June. But you take those 2 solo homers out, they had 2 other hits. Singles, one with a couple outs and one with 1 out in the 9th inning, and neither guy got to second. So it was the second time in this game, in this series, in 3 games where they didn't have a base runner in scoring position. Like, that's just no way to live. When you're not putting pressure on a pitcher, when you're not able to create offensively, steal bases, be aggressive, you know, just basically change how a pitcher's going about their business. You can't get anything going. You're not making them come down off the mound to field the bunt when you're moving a guy over, or, you know, playing that small ball. They're just very comfortable. And then, as you mentioned, if we want to get to the approach, early count ambush on quality pitchers' pitches, you know, that wasn't like they were swinging and popping up stuff middle very often. I thought they were getting themselves out, maybe less so today, but just in general, swinging at pitches they couldn't do a whole lot with. And this is going to happen. You know, this is a team with a batting average in the upper 220s for the season. It's not a extremely well put together offensive team. You know, they live and die by their pitching. So if you don't have really good starting pitching today, Mackenzie Gore, despite striking out the side in the first, gave up double digit hits, got beat around by weak contact and some balls that fell in. And if you don't have starters going 6+ innings and throwing well, game 1 of the series, Jake Irvin wasn't able to do that, you're just not going to win very often with this lineup. And that's kind of what happened 2 out of 3 times against the D-backs.
Well, and we had this discussion a little bit on the last pod about buying and selling. And obviously, there's still a little bit of time to the deadline, but there's that discussion beginning now. I think this series kind of shows you why, even if things go well, you know, the rest of the way into the deadline, that they should still at least minorly sell. Not saying that they have a fire sale and that you're just getting rid of Finnegan and Harvey and those guys for nothing. But, you know, the 1-year guys, the Winkers, the Rosarios, those guys, you should move on from them. Why? Because the offense just isn't going to be there. And they have reinforcements coming. They're in AAA right now. We talked about Dylan Cruz getting bumped up there. James Woods back in the lineup this week. So that's your reinforcements. And eventually Brady House and these guys are coming. But if you're thinking, okay, maybe they should go get something or even just try something to improve this lineup this year, even adding just 1 guy, Grant, you know, we're watching this game on Thursday, and yes, CJ Abrams was out of the lineup, but once you got past Lane Thomas and then Jesse Winker, the rest of the lineup does not scare you whatsoever. And considering other teams these guys are facing, you know, Lane Thomas and Jesse Winker aren't exactly scaring them either. And so even if you throw CJ back in the lineup, a third of the lineup is something that you feel comfortable with. 2/3 of it is something that the other team's looking at and thinking it's chopped liver. So it's something where, you know, even if you were to go add something, just a bat, like, you still don't even have half the lineup filled with guys that you're comfortable with. So it's something where down the line, you know, you're looking into next year, you're looking 2 years down the road, they've got reinforcements coming, and Cruz and Wood and Hassel and House. And, you know, we talk about them all the time. But I don't think now's the time to do it. And I think, you know, having a series like this kind of just shows you once again how limited the offense can be. And you're living and dying by the starting pitching. And the starting pitching, for the most part, has been good this year. But also, you know, the games that Mackenzie Gore and Jake Irvin turned in they're not good by any means. But also, the offense didn't give them anything. The offense barely gave them anything. And so it really didn't matter, even if they went out there and turned in a decent performance and gave up, you know, 3 runs over 6 innings. That's a quality start. It wouldn't have been something that could have worked anyway. So the offense is just very, very limited. The margins are very, very fine. And it reared its ugly head against Arizona. It did the same thing at times against the Mets. It's nice when they're on a hot streak and you see them find ways to push runs across and the pitching looks awesome. But when things aren't going well, it can look real bad for this team.
Yeah, and that's kind of the difference, right? Like, you ambush a first or second pitch and you drive it down the line for a double and everyone sings your praises. CJ Abrams does it pretty frequently. You have the same kind of approach, and you know, you have a 4-5 pitch inning and three outs, and all of a sudden it looks pretty ugly and a starter gets deep. And to that point, you know, I was actually talking with Charlie Slows, the voice of the Nationals, about this on the Nats postgame show I was hosting on their radio network today. You know, there was a time not that long ago where if you were facing a pitcher and he got two outs on two pitches or three pitches in an inning, like the next guy had to take a couple pitches because you're just trying to give your pitcher a breather and just stay out there and trying to extend the inning and make the other guy work. And some of that has changed in baseball where like they really, there were a couple times where they're swinging despite the fourth pitch of the inning seemingly coming plateward with two outs. So it was way too easy to pitch to them. 70 pitches, seven innings. Again, today we've seen that several times here over the last couple of weeks. I will just point out offensively, they've got 61 home runs as a team right now, and that's with a little bit of a hot spell here with the weather heating up. I mentioned Lane Thomas has four in the last six games alone, but they only have more than Toronto, pretty stunningly, to see the Blue Jays right there with Vlad Jr. and some of the other players they've got. And then the Marlins with 59. Those are the only team that have homered less than the Nationals, but they're bottom eight in team batting average. The Astros hit 260 as a team leading all of baseball. The Nats are down at 232, and that's eighth worst. And then if you look at like team slug, bottom three as well. So to win, and they have about half the time this season, it's been a fun year. The last pod we did, very, very positive, and understandably so. It should be more positive than negative. But my point and your point, I think, is they're not going to win by scoring runs very consistently. You want to win, you got to throw six good innings, let the bullpen be exceptional. You and I were looking at the record today in the game notes when they're leading after seven. I don't know if you remember it off the top of your head, but it was like, I want to say it was like 21-3 or something crazy, because Finnegan and Harvey have been that great. One of the reasons why those guys will be possibly on the trade block, because they don't lose games when they get good starting pitching. And that's kind of the story of the year. Consequently, they're just not going to win many games when they give up five or more runs. And so it's a pretty simple script for this team. And it played out in multiple games against Arizona. I do want to real quick talk about Jesse Winker, though, because not only was he the highlight of the last couple of days in the lineup, but this is now a developing situation here, very Jamer Candelario-ish, as they sign him to a cheap one-year deal, and he's playing his way into being somebody that's going to net them something at the deadline if they choose to trade him. Winker went 2-for-4 with a solo homer in the sixth. He's homered in two straight games, second time this season. He also did that May 19th and 20th. He's hitting .435 right now, which is a 20-for-46 clip over his last 15 games. .435. And in fact, over that same 15-game stretch, if you add in 10 walks and hit by pitches, he's got a .536 on base, which is among the best players in Major League Baseball. Really, since the start of June 3 weeks ago, he's been one of the most productive offensive players in the National League. And his season totals now, Toby, when you look at him, I mean, very respectable. The power and the stolen base combination, you know, eight homers to go along with 11 steals, hitting .270, OPS over .800. I mean, he's turning himself into now hitting .400 in his last seven, .435 in his last 15, .340 over his last 30. Like, this is a guy that you can get something for sure, if you choose to do that.
Yeah, his first month of the year was good. We talked about him and how impressive he was to start. He had a poor month of May, but he's really turned it around in the month of June once again. And so, you know, two out of the 3 months, two-thirds of the season, basically, he's been a really good ball player. And so I think you're going to net something good for him because he's a good clubhouse guy to go along with all that stuff. But also defensively, I thought he's been solid this year. I don't necessarily always love the routes and stuff that he takes to the ball in left fields. And I think sometimes it can be a little bit of an adventure in the left field corner. But I think his arm has played really well this year. He's had a couple of outfield assists. But obviously, whoever's going to trade for him, it's primarily going to be for his bat. And He's exactly what you want in a guy who is going to come over. He's got a high on base percentage for especially over this last couple of weeks. And he's hit the ball out of the ballpark a couple of times and looks more like the Jesse Winker that we saw in Cincinnati versus what we saw in Milwaukee last year. So I think you can net something nice. And, you know, the nice part is when you think about it, like you think about Candelario last year and you think, okay, maybe he's playing a little more premium a position at third base, but the Cubs traded for him and they didn't even really play him at third. So they were clearly just trading for the bat, and you got DJ Hirsch and Kevin Mate, and we already saw what DJ Hirsch turned in his third career start, and he's probably going to be making the start as you're listening to this on Friday. So, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do. You think about Jesse Winker, and you move on from him and the time he's had over the last month or so, maybe you can get something similar to that, even maybe a little bit more, a little bit less. I think you can still get a solid guy or two guys to add into the system as you continue to rebuild.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Winker, number one on the Nats in batting average, 270. Number one on the Nats in on-base percentage, 380. Number two on the Nats to C.J. Abrams in slugging percentage, 421. He has the highest OPS on the team, the only regular over 800. I mean, I think the case can be made, and in fact, I would even say maybe not a slam dunk, but it's pretty obvious. He has had the best offensive season for the Nationals this season. OPS is the most, you know, I think legit indicator of kind of just offensive performance. But if you add in that he's got 8 homers, which, you know, is tied with Lane Thomas for second on the team behind Abrams, and he's got 11 stolen bases, which is third on the team behind Jacob Young and Lane Thomas, to go along with where he ranks in some of those other categories I talked about. You know, as far as taking pitches, working counts, drawing walks, he's the only guy on the team with more than 28 walks. He's got 36. Like, it's not even close in that category. So I just love the year he's having. If you look at some of the advanced numbers, he is 95th percentile in chase percentage. He has excellent discipline at the plate. He does not expand the strike zone. That's awesome. He's 94th percentile. This is not on the team. This is in all of baseball. When it comes to walk percentage, 13% of the time he's drawing walks. He's 69th percentile in expected WOBA. He's 65th percentile in whiff percentage. Not a whole lot of swings and misses. Not a high bat speed guy, right? Just 15th percentile. Doesn't have great range in the outfield. I agree with you. He's played better maybe than the numbers, but it's quote-unquote second percentile range. But the arm value's been excellent in terms of outfield assists. The arm strength grades well. It's 71st percentile. And for a guy who doesn't have great sprint speed, you know, 17th percentile, he sure is stealing a lot of bags. So he's checking boxes, man. And right now it would be really surprising if they didn't trade him because he's on a 1-year deal.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to move on from him. I think you can count on him, Rosario, those 1-year guys. Either they're going to move them at the deadline or they'll probably just do what they did with Corey Dickerson last year and just ultimately move on from them and bring up a young guy to play in the second half. But I think you're right about when you look at him this year. I think CJ would be the one that I would say maybe is the best hitter overall or the most impactful, but the most professional hitter this year has been Jesse Winker. Like you said, the approach is really good. He's the one drawing the walks. If everything else is just kind of not good that day, it feels like Jesse Winker still gets on base at least once or twice with a base hit or a walk. So he's been very professional, and I think he's someone that if you're a ball club in contention and you're looking for a guy that can provide a little bit of pop, and you know, it's not like he's going to be batting third or fourth for a contender, but I think he could step in and give you a couple home runs, play a solid enough left field, and give you a professional hitter towards the middle to bottom of the lineup. I think the Nats could get something for him, and I think, again, this is something where when you take multiple swings at it, where they did with the Rosario, they did with the Winker, they did to an extent with the Gallo and some of these other guys, when you can add just one or two or three solid prospects when you move on from some of those guys, it's got to be considered a success. And I think that's another success, hopefully, that they can take advantage of with Jesse Winker by Mike Rizzo.
Yeah, if they get a couple players for Winker, you know, if they were to trade one of the relievers, maybe Harvey, let's say, and get a player or two there, and then maybe one other veteran, you know, bat gets moved. Now you're talking about adding another three, four guys potentially all purpose to the system to just add to the conversation, add to the length and the competition you've created going into next year. Again, they're right now in the thick of things in the wild card, and I suppose if they get hot on this lengthy road trip, maybe there's a different conversation to be had, but I'm a big believer in sticking to the plan. You just mentioned Eddie Rosario, so I do want to circle back to him for 1 second. He is broken again. This is a really streaky hitter. He had an excellent several weeks where, in fact, I think he was the player of the month, if memory serves, in the National League. Maybe it was the week at one point, a couple of times. But he was one of the better players in the league for a few weeks for sure. But remember, he had this awful April. And my God, has he been bad again this past month? He's 3 for his last 26 over 7 games with, in that stretch, a 115 average. Over his last 15 games, he's hitting 179. And over his last 30 games, he's hitting 185. That's 20 for 108. But catch this. These are the last 30 games. You're talking about a month of baseball hitting 185, 3 walks, 26 strikeouts, and an OPS barely over 500 in that time. But it's also one of those things like where you see it and it's even worse, where, I mean, he's striking out on balls in the other batter's box in this series. Just a gross slider in game one if you go back against the Diamondbacks. Like, he is back in a big time rut here, like he was early in the year, where he's completely broken. And for the season, and I'm sitting here saying he's hitting 185 in his last 30, he's hitting 180 for the season. You know, now the OPS is higher and he has done some good things because he hit some home runs. But, man, it's a bad watch for Rosario again right now.
I'm a little surprised, because if you would have told me, you know, Jesse Winker would look like, I mean, heck, he's playing like a Nationals all-star if they were going to give a hitter, you know, the all-star bid. I don't think they will, but if they were, it might be Winker. If you would have told me that Winker might be playing like that and have an 800 OPS and Eddie Rosario would be kind of, man, you might want to move on from him, I would have thought it'd be the other way around. Like, I really thought that Eddie Rosario for sure was going to come in and be able to hit. I remember we were down in West Palm Beach when we saw that news, because we were thinking that there was a chance that James Wood could have been on the roster. They ultimately signed Eddie Rosario, and that kind of ended those hopes. But he's just been disappointing, Grant, and it hasn't even just been at the plate. Like, his calling card is obviously his bat. Like, he is an excellent hitter throughout his career. He hasn't been this year. But throughout his career, he's been an excellent hitter, especially for a guy his size, to be able to put the power that he has on it. It's pretty incredible to watch when he's going good. But this year has not been very good offensively. Defensively, too many times it looks like he's jogging the balls that he could be running to, and just doesn't always look like he's given 100% effort. There was a ground ball that ended up being a double play in the Braves series, where he hit a chopper to Matt Olson that was close to the foul line, but he thought it was going to go foul, and ends up turning into a double play where he's not even in the camera, in the picture, as the ball's coming back to Olson to turn the double play. It's just the effort at times has been a little bit lacking from Rosario. The defense hasn't been very good. And obviously, we pointed out in April, he was one of the worst hitters in baseball. He got on a little bit of a streak, but now he's kind of reverted back to his old ways. He's not giving you much at all, if anything. Like, he's one of those guys that if they ultimately, you know, I don't know that a team's going to trade for him. And it also wouldn't surprise me, too, if the Nats move on, if a team, you know, maybe picked him up if in free agency, if that were to be the case, and maybe you get things going a little bit somewhere else. But he's a guy that if they can't trade him, I don't think the Nats are going to keep in the second half of the season. They'll just move on.
Another guy that's really cooled off, who had been getting hotter and playing his way into maybe being a trade chip. I thought Rosario was in a place where, and because of the power he was showing, maybe they'd get something for him. Nick Senzel has sure crashed back down to earth. I mean, the most notable thing he's been involved in really in the last month has been shoving Mackenzie Gore. He's kind of not quite going full Papelbon, I guess, but 1 for 21 at the plate for him over the last 7 games. That's an 0.48 average. And if you go extrapolate it out further, 1.49 over his last 15 games with just one home run. during that stretch. Not a guy that's in the long-term plans. You know, frankly, whether it's September with Brady House or if they wanted to get Lipscomb more regular opportunities more, you know, sooner than that, certainly they could just go the route of having a younger guy play and add some speed, you know, and some base stealing, because Senzel's one of the few guys in the lineup that isn't going to run. He's got one steal all year. But he's played a pretty solid third base for the most part. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think what they were trying to do, like they are with Rosario, is kind of showcase, right? You're trying to get these guys enough work, enough at-bats to try to maybe turn them into something after adding them on the cheap. And he has some, you know, likable things. He's got a really high walk percentage, which is 97th percentile in baseball. He's another guy like Winker that doesn't chase, 82nd percentile. In fact, his launch angle and his sweet spot are really, really good, 93rd percentile. But the average exit velocity is terrible. It's 3rd percentile. Bat speed is not good, 12th percentile. Doesn't hit the ball hard enough very often, 8th percentile. And, you know, he just doesn't give you a lot defensively as a fielder in terms of range. He fields the ball he gets to, as I said, pretty cleanly. But he's 13th percentile in terms of range, below average arm at third base, below average speed. And he's, for the most part, for any kind of power, almost a dead pull hitter. I think he's got one extra base hit to the opposite field all year long.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of building off what I talked about with Rosario, I think obviously Senzel showed you more than Rosario has throughout the course of the year. But even if he continues to struggle, I think Senzel sticks around just because there's not as much depth in the infield. But also, he's got another year of arbitration eligibility, so I would think that they maybe keep him around just kind of as a veteran to kind of teach the guys. And, you know, right, frankly, right now you've got a Nassim Nunez on the bench, and, you know, Lipscomb can come up and play, and you can have spots, right? You have spots for Senzel, but, I mean, he's got to pick it up. Like, he's got to find a way to be a little bit more of what we saw there for that stretch where he was one of the better hitters on the team. And he had the stretch where he had the 5 home runs in like, what, 5 or 6 games about, you know, a month and a half ago. Like, he's had some stretches, but you need some more consistency, because you look at his overall numbers and they're not very good. Now, he's still slugging the ball a little bit and the on base isn't horrible, but it's just, you're not getting enough out of him. And at some point, I think you are going to start seeing these young guys. Like, Lipscomb's been struggling. He really has. But if you know, get later on in the year and you're just going to start using these young guys and seeing what they have to prepare them for next year, like Senzel, he's going to really have to prove something in order to keep a spot in the lineup.
Other notes before we move on, Joey Meneses went 1-for-3, had one of the 4 hits in the game today. He's hitting .345, 10 for his last 29 over that stretch for him. So he is actually among the veteran hitters in the lineup. Been decent here while the team has scuffled some offensively. And then the bullpen continues to shine. There was a note from the Nationals in their post-game notes they send out after the game that, how about this, 18 strikeouts and just 2 walks in their last 20 innings in 6 games. That's a 0.90 ERA, 2 earned runs for them. The bullpen has not issued a walk in its last 16 innings over 5 games. The Nats bullpen has been pretty incredible most of the season. But what I love, I mean, how do you not love guys coming in, throwing the ball over the plate, throwing strikes? Like, we have been through plenty of seasons as Nats fans where you just never know what's happening when that door opens. And right now, guys are throwing strikes. You know, it's a pretty big drop off between the A bullpen and then the Jags like Tanner Rainey and Jordan Weems, who's pretty hittable. But even those guys, you know, they're getting victimized here and there, but they're throwing strikes right now. And that's been good to see.
Hey, man, the people's closer, Tanner Rainey, he's got 5 straight scoreless appearances. So I don't want to hear too much bad about Tanner Rainey. I am interested, though, like, Jordan Weems struggled on Thursday. I'm interested to see, once you have some of these guys come back, you know, I think DJ Harris could end up going back down, but what's ultimately going to be the moves for some of these starting pitchers? Because, you know, I don't know that you're not moving on from Parker and these guys. So I think it ends up being some of these guys in the pen. And, you know, to your point, for the most part, the pen's been pretty good, but you look on the back end and it's a Weems and a Rainey, and they're going to have to make a decision on those guys. But honestly, like, you look, obviously we talk about Finnegan and Harvey, and they're really, really good. But even the guys like the Derek Law, like I don't know that I expected Derek Law to be as big a part of this bullpen and as good a part of this bullpen as he has been this year. And yeah, there's some times where he struggles, and frankly, he's been awful when he has inherited runners. Like, you might as well just go ahead and put him on the board when he walks in with inherited runners. But for the most part, when he comes in a clean inning, I mean, he's been solid and even going multiple innings. And you look at a guy like a Dylan Floro, who expected him to be a guy that you felt like you could use in high leverage situations and feel pretty comfortable with it, with a guy that, you know, barely pumping 90 miles an hour on his fastball. So they're getting some nice contributions. I would like to see some more lefties in that pen eventually, but even Robert Garcia, I thought, has thrown the ball fairly well this year. So it's been impressive to see, because in years past, Grant, it's like you had one, maybe two guys you could trust. Not to say that you're, you know, fully 100% confident when some of these other guys come in, but think about the dudes that were coming in the seventh and the sixth inning in previous years versus a Derek Law running out of the pen now. I have a lot more confidence in a Derek Law than guys we've seen in the past.